Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, the show where you get your property questions in and we give you our answers. It's been a format that we've run for a long time now, but just as a quick reminder, we'll let you know how you can get your question onto the show.
Yep, it works because it's easy. Just give us a call on 013 808 0035 or go to propertyhub.net/ask. Leave us a voicemail, just like Hayley did.
Hi, guys. I've only just found your podcast and I'm gutted to have missed your investing opportunity. I will be an avid listener from now on. My question to you is, I've just recently got divorced and my settlement leaves me with £600,000. I'm a low income earner and I can't get a mortgage. My question is, do I buy a property outright and keep a little bit of money back to sustain my living until I can increase my earning capacity? Or do I rent and use my lump sum capital to invest?
Hi, Hayley. Thank you for your question. Now, it could probably feel a little overwhelming to have a lot of money suddenly at your disposal, which you haven't had before. And you may be tempted to go out and take action. And we often preach on the podcast about taking action. But in this scenario, our advice to you is caution. Take it slow. Don't rush in to do anything. So you have different options. You can go and buy a property for cash. And then at a future point, if your income increases, then you can look to remortgage then if you wanted to. So that is one of the options you could consider. You could look to invest because you don't need to have a high income to get a buy-to-let mortgage. Now, speak to a professional to understand your options. But if you wanted to rent and then invest that money instead, you could do. But again, I would advise caution. And if you've not done buy-to-let before, I would make your first investment as boring as possible. Don't go for anything exciting. If you've not done this before, go for something simple. There are loads of investment strategies out there that look very exciting. There are loads of investment strategies that people will love to sell you and tell you that theirs is the best and promise you the world. Ignore all those people and go for something boring. Now, if you become an investor, in time you will look back and go, why did I do that first investment? Well, the reason why you do it is if you don't get on with a boring vanilla property, then you'll never get on with property investment. So test the water, see how you feel being a buy-to-let landlord, even if you plan to be hands-off. And if it agrees with you, great, maybe then take the next step. But do one and possibly let it run for at least 6 months before doing the second one if you want to go down the investment route. So there is no, oh, you must buy your own home, and there is no, oh no, you must invest. It is up to you, and you do have options with both. But with both, just tread carefully, go slowly, and then you're far less likely to make mistakes or costly errors.
Okay, let's hear now from John.
Hi, Rob and Rob. My name's John, and I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for all the great content you've put out over the years. Since listening to the podcast, I built up a small portfolio of one-bedroom flats in London. They're all leaseholds, and I know the magic number for extending leases is 80 years, after which it becomes a lot more costly. I have two flats which will have 8 years remaining on their leases in 7 and 10 years respectively. Is there any benefit for me to extend these leases early, say in the next 12 months, when property prices, which are factored into the extension price, might be a bit depressed? Or would it be better for me to wait a few years to see if changes in government policy make the extension process less drawn out and costly? Is this a dilemma you're facing with any of your properties? Thanks a lot and keep up the good work.
John, thank you for the question, which is one that a lot of people are asking at the moment. By the time this episode comes out, we may have heard more from the government about their leasehold plans, or we may not, because it seems to have been pushed back a lot. But either way, nothing is going to change immediately. So what should you do in the meantime? Well, you are completely right that the magic number is 80 years. At the moment, lease extension suddenly becomes a lot more expensive when you cross the 80-year threshold. Supposedly, that's going to be changed when the government brings forward their new plans, but we don't know the detail of that. For now, though, given that you've got at least 7 years before this becomes an issue, you don't have to do anything right now. Now, I've been looking into this a bit because we answered a similar question in our Sunday Times column recently. And the expert advice, i.e. not from us, is that in your position, where you've got a lease where time is not a factor, there's no particular reason not to go ahead now, because the changes that are made might make the process a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more predictable, but it's unlikely to make a big difference to the amount you pay. However, that's not what I would do. Personally, I would wait and see what happens, because a year or two isn't really going to make any difference to the amount you pay. And whatever changes are made, it's probably not going to make it any worse or any more expensive. It's only going to be a change for the better. So I just wait to see how that pans out. So that's probably, John, massively unhelpful, because I've given you the actual answer and my answer, and both are different. But I think the ultimate takeaway is that you're in the fortunate position where you don't need to do anything right now, and you'll be all good either way. There are lots of other people who are in limbo, kind of waiting to see what happens. So good news for you either way, John. And when there is more clarity around this subject, we will absolutely be updating everyone on the podcast.
Well, thank you, Hayley, and thank you, John, for your questions. And thank you for listening. Hopefully, you're a little bit more knowledgeable after listening to that. And we'll make you even more knowledgeable if you listen to Thursday's episode of the Property Podcast, which is so, so close now. Make sure you join us for that. But until then, take care, have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.